Robert read what we call the Great Commission. It is that statement that Jesus made just before he left this earth to return back to heaven and to be with his Father and to begin that much necessary work of preparing a home for the bride. I want to read that same scripture, but I actually want to go just a few verses before that, back to verse 16. That would be Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. And from these group of verses, I hope to get a launching pad for our discussion even this evening. Matthew, the chapter is 28, and I shall begin reading with verse number 16. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying that all authority or all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. Some says the end of the ages. What I've just read here should be a high point in the relationship that Jesus is having with his disciples. For about 3 years, they have been traveling together. They have spent some wonderful times together, some times that would build not only memories together, but times that would bring them to a greater assurance and understanding of who Jesus is. But if you notice in verse number 16, 17, there is one phrase there that is of interest now, and it says, when they saw him, talking about Jesus, they did two things. The Bible says they worshiped him, but some doubted. Doubt is defined as a lack of confidence. It is defined as a lack of assurance or trust in God. It is a wavering between two minds or two sets of thoughts. They, in the time that they had spent with Jesus, they'd seen great things happen. They had seen the blind retain their sight. They had seen the lame walk again. He had taught fishermen just how to fish. He taught farmers how to farm. He had given widows their sons. He had taken time to teach the multitude or teach the masses how they should live. But in the process of all of this, the Bible says, and some doubted. He just told them that one of them, among him, would betray him. And then he pointed out the one that would do it. And true enough, his words became true. They came to the garden to get him. He had talked to one of his choice young men named Peter. And Peter says, Lord, even though others will leave you, even though others will walk away, I will never deny you. And Jesus looked at Peter and he says, before the rooster crows, even this night, you would have denied me three times. And when it came to fruition and Peter did deny him those three times, he looked up and remembering the words of Jesus, he wept bitterly. Yet in the midst of all that Jesus had said, all that had happened that he said would happen, there were some that still doubted him. When he was risen from the grave, there were those who were in a locked room and they were praying one for another, feeling and trying to comfort one another. And he entered into the house without opening the door, speaking peace unto them. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And still some would doubt him. Doubt in the minds of a child of God is the enemy of our faith. It is that one thing that will destroy your life. It is that weapon that defeats Christians every time, that calls us to give up and to turn our backs on the Lord. Doubt is that enemy that comes into the church and can destroy the church from within. It doesn't take a warring nation. It doesn't take the disciples of the devil to come and doubt demeans us and destroys us from within. The Hebrew letter says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 that he that will come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. One great gift that God gives us is our faith. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And if faith is that victory, then doubt is that battle that we lose. James says this in James chapter 1. James is the brother of Jesus, and he's trying to encourage us in our faith. And James says this, but ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one that doubts is like the waves of the sea, he's driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter is a double-minded individual. He is unstable in all his ways, and he must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Doubting, Paul says, is sinful. But whatsoever is not of faith is of sin, Romans 14 and verse number 23. Probably in scripture, the greatest doubter of all would be one of the 12 disciples by the name of Thomas. When all the disciples came together and Jesus met them in the midst, and he says, look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet. See the holes there. This is how they held me up. They saw this and they marveled at this. And the next time they saw Peter, that's a testimony to how important it is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because Peter was not there at this moment. Thomas was not there. And Thomas says, look, I'm not going to believe. Not until I see his hand and I put my finger in the handprint. Until I put my fingers where the nails were, until I see that, I will be a doubter. John chapter 20, beginning with verse number 24, Jesus shows up once again, and Thomas is there. And he calls Thomas out, and he says, Thomas, come here. See my hand, put your finger there. See my side, put your finger there. And then Thomas probably shouted out with a loud voice, my Lord and my God. When Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen, you now believe. But blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are a people that live by faith and not by sight. God would have us to have faith in him and to never doubt. But I still go back to that scene on the mountainside. Just before Jesus leaves this earth, and he's going to give them final instruction, final encouragement. encouragement, a final word to lift them up and give them the courage they need for the fight that is to ensure. And the Bible says they came worshiping him, but some doubted. I know how powerful doubt is, and I know that man, mortal woman, is a few days and many sorrows, and because of the things that we will see, the things that we experience, the things that we'll go through, because sometimes the delay of God's return, and sometimes the way that godly people will act will cause us to have doubts with our faith, to have our faith falter and sometimes even fail us because of the things that's going on. But I'm here to tell you that doubt is the enemy of your faith. Doubt is that one thing that can hold you back and hold you down and keep you from being successful as a Christian. So as a result tonight, I would like to give you about three things, and then maybe three more later, that will help us in our fight or our battle against doubt. First of all, I just like to say it simply, trust God. What is faith? Faith is believing or trusting in God. The very first thing I would tell you to do is simply trust God. David in the long ago said this in Proverbs chapter 3. Many of us can quote this verse, but let me share it with you one more time. These are words that have come from the Old Testament and made their way into the New and will probably be around as long as there are people of faith who struggle with how I should act and how I should respond to the Word of God, to the will of God, and even to the way of God. David says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Then he says this, he says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You can't have two masters. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then he says, your faith shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I love the way God can take the simplest of things and give us profound lessons. Do you know that each of us has a navel, and that navel was very important. While we were in the being born or birthing process, the mother body was attached to our body through the navel cord. And that navel cord and the umbilical cord that is attached to it is how we got everything that we got. We get our nutrition, we get the fluids that we need, we get everything that we needed that provided life through our navel. And he says this, talking about the navel, he says, it shall be health to your navel. I'm thankful that young mothers are cognizant of the fact that when they have a life growing within us, and life does begin at conception. There's a life growing within her, and she's carrying it for around 9 months of time. That during that time, the mother only does those things that are health-wise helpful to the child. She's careful about what she eats, and that she eats enough. She's careful about what she drinks, y'all looking at me funny, and that she drinks enough, because there's health of the child coming from the mother through the navel. And David is saying here, if we will trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not upon our own understanding, fear the Lord and depart from evil, if we will do these things, they will be health to the very life source that brings life to us. And he uses the word navel to talk about that. And then he finishes up by saying, and marrow to the bone. Now we know that the bone carries a substance within it that's life-giving, and it has so many potentials. And we don't have time to get into all that now, but if the marrow in the bone dries up and starts to decay, it loses the life, and it's a process, then the whole body starts to decay. And so David is saying, listen, child of God, listen, you who love the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The first thing that I can tell you to help you eliminate doubt is just trust. Trust in the Lord. Secondly, I'd like to, and it's simple, but I want you to trust in the Lord. And then secondly, I want you to talk to the Lord, or talk to God. I want your communication to be of such that you look to God for every good blessing. That you communicate to God the feelings of your heart, the things that are in your intellect, your path, your destination, your program of life. Talk to God. The Hebrew writer, we've already done verse number 1 in Hebrew 11, where faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But look down at verse 6 again. The Hebrew writer is saying, if we need faith, we need to realize that faith comes through something very, very simple, but very profound. Faith, according to Romans 10:17, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Talk to God. The way that God, being a communicating God, the way that God brings his word to us, that brings his blessings to us, is through the word that we call the scripture, from the holy book, from Old Testament and New Testament. These things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience in the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All scripture, both Old and New Testament, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We need to talk to God. We need to open up. It's not necessary to open up your mouth, but open up your heart. Open up who you are and communicate to God. What are you talking about, preacher? If you want to get rid of doubt, then you got to spend some time in action, whether on your knees in prayer or in your prayer closet or off somewhere to yourself, but spend some time talking to the object of our faith, and to that which we believe, and to that which we will trust, and to that which we will obey. Spend some time talking to God. And then thirdly, not only trust God with all your heart and talk to God about what is happening and what's going on in your heart, but let's take full advantage of who God is. It sounds a little someone who's selfish, but I think that if we would take time to trust in God and rely upon God, God will show us some things we have not seen. God will give us some things that we didn't know we have. David said it this way: I was young, but now I'm old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let's test God. Not like the devil wanted Jesus to jump off of the top of the tower and see if the angels. No, not like that. But test God by obeying God. Do the things he say, and see if the outcome will come in the way that he said it would come. Upon the first day of the week, come to church. Study your Bible. Do good unto all men. Love one another. When we do the things of God, we are testing God to see if God is God. James says this in James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of every kind. For you know that the trying of your faith is what produces that steadfastness. In other words, walking in faith makes you stronger. Trusting in the Lord when you have no other recourse makes you grow stronger. Trusting in the Lord when you think you have other options and other ways of doing it. I tell young people all the time, just because you can get a job at a certain place doesn't mean that the Lord wants you to be working at that place. That doesn't mean that he would want you to be a part of that environment, a part of what's going on there. You may make big money for a minute selling drugs, but is that what the Lord wants you to do? Trust in him, rely upon him, and see if he will not take care of you if you'll walk in the light as he is in the light. Not only will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us of all unrighteousness, but the faith walk with God will give us the strength that we need. So test God. Test him to see if his word is true. James says this, when we test him, that faith produces steadfastness. And he says, let your steadfastness then have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generally to all without reproach, and it will be given unto you. What are you saying, James? James says, sometimes we don't know everything. Sometimes we don't understand everything. Sometimes we need to ask God and allow God to guide, to guard, and to direct us through the steps of our lives. Take full advantage of your relationship with God. Test God. Trust in the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And take full advantage of your relationship with the Lord. Let me share this with you. There was a couple of comments this morning about they enjoy the poem. So let me share one more with you when it comes to the battle that we deal with between doubt and faith. The battle between doubt and faith. The struggle that every child of God is going to have at some time in their Christian walk, that battle between doubt and faith. It goes something like this. Sometimes in the quiet of night, doubt creeps in, whispering questions and shaking our trust from within. Why do we falter? Why do we stumble? Why do we stray? Isn't our faith strong enough to light our way? But we're not alone in the struggle. For even saints and prophets of old have faced the same trouble. Their stories echo through the ages, a testament of faith enduring through all the different stages. Between doubt and faith, we can find our place, a necessary dance seeking God's grace. Let's explore the reasons that we question and the reasons that we fear, and discover how our faith can allow us to persevere. Reason we doubt, why they abound, life storms, unanswered prayers, and shadows all around. We wrestle with pain, we wrestle with injustice, we wrestle with loss, and we wonder if God hears us, if he's still helping us bear our cross. But like Job, we can pour out our hearts and lay bare our troubles and our fears and our broken parts. And God will absorb it all, his love unyielding. And our wrestle will find, yeah, we'll even find deeper healing. Between doubt and faith, we'll find our place, a necessary move seeking God's grace. Let's explore the reasons we question and fear, and discover how our faith can help us persevere. So what can we do to strengthen our trust? How can we anchor our souls when doubts seem to gust? How are our steps so simple yet profound to deepen our faith on this sacred ground? Four things. First of all, remember God's faithfulness. Recall your past victories and recall all those answered prayers, the moments when God showed you just how much he cares. And then simply restart a prayer or a praise journal. I want you to write it down. The God of heaven, as profound as he is, he wrote it down. Write down your request and then see God's hand. Witness his faithfulness across this great land. The problem that many of us have is we'll pray to God, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, and then we'll forget that we asked God for that when it manifests itself in life. We need to write down, I prayed for my family members that they would come to church. I prayed for my loved ones that they would receive Christ and become Christians. Those prayers will come to fruition. They will be manifested in your life. And we need to write that down. We need to remember that. We need to have a prayer and praise report for ourselves to remind us and to bring us back to the fact that, yes, faith is good. Faith is strong. Faith is what I would need. And then not only remember God's faithfulness and rewrite or restart to write those things down that are important to us in our lives, but reflect upon God's promises. You probably have heard me recite this a lot because it's my favorite verse. It gives me hope. It gives me encouragement. It helps make my steps lighter and my load just a little bit easier. And so I quote it all the time. At John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then I like this part. I go. But I'm leaving with a purpose. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Reflect on God's promises. When the mountains seem to rise in front of you, focus not on the mountain, but on the word of God. Trust his plans, even when faith seems to be absurd and you don't understand. Don't do like Abraham's wife, and how can I have a baby as old as I am? Trust in his promises. Trust in his promises. And then finally, this is the fourth one. I usually don't do four, but I got to do it tonight. Revive our trust in God's plan. In other words, the moment that personally, I became a child of God. I did an old phrase that man used to say years ago back in Alabama. They would say, child, give man your hand and God your heart. And he will make you new. He'll add you to the kingdom. He'll add you to the church. He'll wash away your sins. I want us to revive that trust. You know how humble and yielding you were when you humbly came before the Lord and you rendered yourself in obedience to him and you submitted yourself to baptism that you may have your sins washed away. Then revive that trust. Get back to that place where you were fully, truly, wholly trusting in the Lord. Spend some time reading God's word, because that's what builds your faith. And when life's storms come, remember what Jeremiah said in the long ago. God has plans for you. And even though you have tears in your eyes, God is going to allow the sun to shine again. Between doubt and faith, we'll find our place. A necessary place seeking God's face. Let's explore the reasons that we question and that we fear, and discover how our faith can help us persevere. So sing the song of faith, my friend. Embrace the tensions, the doubts, and all the fears until the end. For in wrestling, we'll find a way to be closer to God's heart, where doubts fade away. David said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Are you a child of God? If not, why not? To become a child of God is as easy as hearing his word and believing it. Repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, hoping and praying that you can walk in the light and that the blood of Jesus Christ will help you through all struggles, all moments of doubt, all the trials and all the tribulations that may be before you. Sometimes our faith does falter. Sometimes our faith does dwindle. Sometimes we find ourselves entertaining doubt. When you find yourself doing that, once again, lean upon the Lord and not upon your own understanding. If you need prayer this evening, we're here to do just that. We're here to pray with you and pray for you that your faith fail not. And just like Jesus told Peter in the long ago, I pray for you, boy, that your faith fail not. And when you become strengthened, when you become converted, strengthen your brother. I'm looking at a group of saints, and our purpose, not only today, but in every day of our continued existence, is to strengthen the brother.